This is Victoria Davis, aka The Victator.
And I am Isaac.
And you're listening to Livin' and Lovin' in NYC. Woo! Okay, so I'm really excited about today's show, but if any of you listening heard our bonus mini-cast, you will know that, sadly, New Brit is not dead. She's just no longer with us. And yeah, I know. We're all very upset about it. And those of you who didn't listen, well, now you know. but we do have a replacement co-host. We have Isaac, who you might remember from our Where Have All the Butches Gone episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm super excited that he has decided to join us, and he might not be as pervy as New Brit, but like he's pretty cool and entertaining.
Big shoes to fill for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. We're gonna have to slut him up a little bit in order to get this going. So before we get started, I need to do my international report, which is no longer the Ghana report.
No,
Ghana has abandoned us. We have like no listeners in Ghana anymore. It was like we were like getting like every episode was like more and more listeners in Ghana, and now like last time it was like 2, and the one before that it was like 10, and so and before that it was like 30. I'm very like I don't know what we did, Ghana, but we want you back. However, weirdness. We had like 41 listeners in Brazil last month.
Nice.
Yeah, I have no idea how the fuck that happened. And then even weirder, 6 listeners in Saudi Arabia.
All right.
So
international operation.
Yeah. So we lost Ghana, but we got Saudi Arabia. So I feel like that's pretty sweet. Stay with us, Saudi Arabia, and we'll be good to you, I hope. Okay. Now I'm gonna do a bunch of shout outs. First of all, I want to do a shout out to my friend Allie, who like never does anything on the internet ever, so I was very surprised to hear that she was listening to the show, and she binge listened while she was sick. And that's awesome. I also want to give a shout out to this lovely lady Courtney, who lives in LA. Megan, who I can't remember if I shouted her out last episode, so I'm sorry if I'm shouting you out again. But as much as I love the sound of my own voice, I didn't re-listen to hear if I shouted you out, but she's super sweet, and she teaches at Sarah Lawrence and wanted to like put up flyers about us and stuff, which is very 90s.
But taking it back,
but very cool. I'm almost considering doing it. Oleg is this wonderful guy that I know that has agreed to help us with a logo. He's an amazing graphic designer, and in exchange for designing the logo, I told him that I would say that he's really good in bed on the air. So I just want to say that like Oleg's penis is like I can't really handle it sometimes. I have to really prime myself, and it's just all of him inside of me is very difficult to take.
Good cross promotion.
I have never come so hard than with Oleg's giant penis, and the fact that he's a gay man and I'm a lesbian, it doesn't matter. It happens. He's just that sexy.
Skills.
Okay. Another big shout out though to AfterEllen.com, who actually listed us in their daily links for Where Have All the Butches Gone episode, which in turn ended up getting us a shit ton more of listeners. So really excited about that. Okay. We're going to get serious for a minute. Oh, wait, one more thing. We actually have a website now. It's kind of beta and kind of basic, but like it's there, and you can listen to us there as well as the way that you've been listening before. So living and loving at nyc.com, and there we are. All right, now it's time to get serious.
.com, that's pretty serious.
Yes, .com, not even like .net or like...
Not .org.
Yeah,
like
not...
Grants for it.
We're not getting grants yet, though. If anyone wants to give us one, like please do, but I can't guarantee that I'll do anything in exchange for that. All right, so on a serious note, I yesterday was thinking about doing this episode and thinking about doing this episode without New Brit, and I got really sad. And I was honestly kind of thinking like, do I want to do this? Like, can I do this without her? I love her so much. Also, I don't know who's going to compliment my hair anymore, because every time I saw her, she would tell me that my hair looks amazing. And I just want to say that none of you have complimented my hair.
Your hair looks fabulous.
fabulous.
Thank you. And also, yes, none of you have pointed out my very vaginal tie, which Newbert would have done right away.
A vaginal
it's
tie.
It's very, it's highly vaginal. I'm going to walk around and show everyone Let's my see. My vaginal tie. It's vaginal.
Yeah, that counts as pretty super vaginal.
Pussy enough.
Yeah, yeah, it's full of pussy. So I had
she
this.
She doesn't mean the pattern. She just means the tie is actually full of pussy right now.
Yeah, yeah. I just slathered it like with pussy
as
before
you
know. I yeah, but yeah. So yeah, that's what that smell is, guys. Sorry about that.
And you're hearing the voices of our guests who we will introduce.
Yeah,
shortly.
We'll introduce very shortly.
Like this crowd is gonna not like the smell of pussy.
Yeah. But so I realized that I felt very vulnerable without her. And vulnerable is not a comfortable feeling for me. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that after our introductions. But I just want to say that, Newbert, I love you. I miss you. Oh, and for our listeners who didn't hear the minicast, she is going to start adding segments called Newbert at Large while she's traveling. So I'm really excited about that. I don't know if she'll be able to do it for this one, which is why you'll probably hear an awkward ending where I'll say something like, maybe Newbert's coming up, maybe she's not. But yeah, I'm going to get more into vulnerability after the introductions, but now I'm going to get to the introductions. The lady who is to my left right now, her name is Lola Rock and Rolla.
Things. Lady is not one of them most of the time, but
okay. Well, I will refer to you as nothing less than a lady. and she has no idea who I am, but sure. I was kind of
Lindsay.
I was
Sorry.
It's okay. I was kind of obsessed with you like in my early 20s. Hang on. So, I was dating Lila.
Okay.
You remember Lila?
Lila.
Yeah, Jenny's sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you were dating Su Ling. I wasn't sure if I should say her name, who is like the most like fucking beautiful, like, oh my god, like I remember, like, just
you obviously have not met my fiance.
Oh no, okay, yeah, sorry about that.
Su Ling was hot, but you obviously have not met my fiance.
Fair point.
Oh,
fair point. And
I'm up in my game now. I'm totally up in my game.
And that's great. Yeah. But so I was just like, this fucking awesome lady got this awesome, like, hot lady, and you were, like, DJing at Motor City, and I was, like, 21, so to me, DJing at Motor City was, like, the coolest job in the world.
Well, and we used to do Motor Titty, which was at midnight, if you showed us your tits, we'd give you free booze for 15 minutes, and it was chaos.
I mean, chaos.
I was, like, DJing topless, and it was just chaos, and the cops would come and laugh and just point at boobs.
Yeah.
Which was in a different New York thing.
Yeah. Hence why I thought you were super fucking cool.
Oh.
You were, like, a New York celebrity to me when I was, like, a young little queer, and I was, like, oh, I can be, like, cool when I'm older, too, because you were in your 30s, which seemed like a million years for me now.
Now I'm in my 40s, so
yeah,
forget
exactly.
Where's my walker?
Yeah. So yeah, and then in addition to that, you are a filmmaker, am I right?
Yeah, I'm a filmmaker and a musician. Yes, I've made 6 really ridiculous movies.
Yeah, you refer to yourself as like a B movie maker, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm a B movie maven. Yeah, I'm the next John Waters, indeed.
Awesome. So full of camp.
Full of camp.
Yeah.
Mustaches and naked people running is how most people have described my films. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So that's Lola. We'll hear from more of her later. My next guest, some of you have heard about. I'm going to refer to her the whole time as Young Cecilia.
Hey, guys.
who I met at Cubby Hole, and then she's very young. She's 21, and so I feel very bad about this. I grabbed her and made out with her. If you listen to our last episode, I talked about the difficulty that I have sometime in consent talks, but according to you, we had a consent talk.
There was a consent talk.
Please.
You literally said, I'm about to kiss you right now, and you waited, and I nodded.
Yeah.
I think that's consent.
Yeah, so exactly. It's a consent talk. And I wasn't entirely sure that she was 21, and then I found out she was 21, and I was like, I'm disgusting. Like, you're the same age as my youngest niece. I'm a horrible person. And yes, and I love you, Cecilia, but we, you know. I think we had our time.
We had our time. I think my girlfriend in Chile, who's listening right now, would say
Oops,
so.
Sorry. Yeah. No. Definitely over.
Shout out to Coconut. But yeah. Okay.
Hi, Coconut.
Yeah.
That's
Coconut.
Just my nickname for her.
That's adorable.
Are we allowed to call her Coconut?
Yes, you can call her Coconut.
Okay. And you're a native New Yorker like me, which is great.
Born and raised in Bronx, New York. Yeah.
Yeah. And
day.
Yeah. And anything else you want to say about yourself?
Well, right now I work for Scientific American a marketing and customer assistant. It's been the coolest job ever, being around all these scientists, people, and these editorials, and just, yeah, I'm having a great time. I'm also studying psychology right now. Not really sure what the hell I'm going to do with it.
I didn't. Where are you studying?
I take online classes.
Oh, cool.
This New Jersey school.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. But I'm just kind of winging it right now, getting myself into everything. We'll see.
Well, you're 21. So, yeah. We're already really impressed with you. But
I mean, you're not on drugs in a gutter, and you're doing all this stuff. I mean, it's pretty.
I'm pretty alive.
In my day, and in Grandma Lesbo's day, you should be on drugs in a gutter somewhere.
Yeah, or like idolizing Lola, which is what I was doing at her age.
Well, now that I know Lola, I probably will idolize her now that I know.
Yeah. All right.
Be careful what you wish for. Yeah. Please.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Okay, so we've done our introductions. Like I said, so we have this topic, right, which is going to be like the generational differences in queerness, discussions of queerness, et cetera. It's kind of similar to our episode 5, but it's about a little bit of a different topic. But as I said, I was going to talk more about vulnerability before, and so I'm kind of going to put everyone on the spot right now, because when I was thinking about this episode and I was thinking about whether or not I was even in the mood to do it, I talked to my best friend, a huge shout out to Vintage Brit, which is where New Brit gets her name. And she was just like, you know, if you're going to do this, like, the reason the show works is always because you guys are really honest. And if you go in there and you're pretending to not be sad and to not be insecure, you're not going to do well. And so I'm going to shout out right now that I'm like, I'm feeling very insecure right now. And there's a lot of vulnerability regarding doing the show without New Brit. And also, like, you know, as we all know, I've been a little bit of a slut. As you know, my email address is sluttyforalesbian
and @gmail.com. And a round of applause.
Yeah. But I recently... Yeah, hence the pussy tie. But I recently started seeing someone who I really like, and calm down. And I haven't let her listen to the show yet. But for obvious reasons. Hence the sluttiness. And dealing with that vulnerability has been, it's a really long time since I've liked someone, and I'm very surprised that at the age of 33, I can still get completely terrified. Like, on one of our first dates, as you know, so we all know my MO for hooking up with people, which is grabbing them and making out with them with a consent talk. Yes. But on one of my first dates with this girl, she was like suggesting that I come back to her place, and I jumped into a cab and went home. Like, I was just like a crazy person acting like a fucking insane person. So I'm now trying to be honest about my vulnerability and let all those things, develop. And so, yeah, if you hear me being vulnerable, that's what's going on. The New Brit leaving and the seeing someone I care about and all that shit. And it occurred to me when I was talking to Vintage Brit about this that everyone else here probably has something that they're vulnerable about too. And I was thinking, Isaac, because you did say that at some point you were comfortable talking about it, it's okay if you're not right now, but you were feeling kind of vulnerable the other day when we were Facebook chatting.
Yeah. I'm wondering if vulnerable is a good word for it, but yeah. So, I mean, just to give a little context, I'm in like month 5 of hormone replacement therapy. So I've been taking testosterone for about 5 months, and mostly been a pretty smooth ride for me, but every once in a while, usually like right after I take it, it's like on a 2-week cycle, I can get a little adolescent, I guess we'll say. Maybe vulnerable is a good word for it. But mostly just like, if you can try to imagine being like 13 in like a 28-year-old situation, that's kind of like what I go through every once in a while. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey, but definitely not one that I could say was 100% easy, I guess. Even though I'd like to. And I think a lot of times, especially for trans people who are like going through this process, it's like tempting to sort of try and portray to everybody that everything is like smooth sailing 100% of the time. And it's not always. For me a lot, and it's funny that like I'm on the radio, but for me, like the biggest change has been like dealing with my voice changing, because I'm also a singer. And so, it's just been weird, especially when I'm singing to records that like I've listened to forever, to not be able to easily do things, or there are certain things that I can do vocally, but to me it's just, I guess I feel a little insecure about it, or like worried that it's something that's gonna affect me more than maybe I would have thought. But yeah, I guess as far as vulnerability, that's kind of something that is happening for me right now. But in general, I'm kind of arrogant, so
arrogance helps to counteract vulnerability.
It's a byproduct of vulnerability, yeah. I guess you could say. But yeah,
well, you sound better than the other day. You sounded like
It was just like pretty down about the fact that there were like a lot of changes that I feel like are out of my control, and I think I'm like the kind of person who struggles with not having a ton of control, and not knowing a lot about like what's gonna happen in the future. So it's been hard, but I mean, a rewarding journey, but obviously difficult in some ways, for sure.
I also want to point out that Isaac is starting to get a neck beard, which is like, really funny because the rest of his face isn't growing yet. And so it's like, I'm thinking like in a few months, you're just going to have like this long ass, like droopy beard. And like,
So I decided after Thanksgiving, I was just going to let it grow and see what happened in like a month's time. And so I've got this kind of like weird, like prepubescent thing happening, but it's been fun. Like, it's been enjoyable to like see the changes for the most part, and like my girlfriend and I are like having fun with it. So I decided like, fuck the haters. Like, I'm just gonna let it grow and see what happens.
I mean, there's like tons of like gross guys with like facial hair doing weird things. So like,
And like the one thing they don't tell you,
Williamsburg.
Like, exactly. Well, this is the thing, is like having a beard is cool or whatever. The thing they don't tell you is if you don't want one, that you have to fucking shave every day.
Oh,
and
yeah, that
so
must
this
be
is
new.
Like a new thing that like I had to do every day, and I was like, come on, I like have a hard time doing things every day anyway. So I might as well just let it go, and so I'm just seeing what happens. But it looks a little goofy, I guess.
Well, no, I think it's cool.
Thanks. Oh, thanks. Thank you.
I'm gonna shout out some more vulnerability, because you recently did something very vulnerable. You asked your girlfriend to marry you. Is that right?
Oh my God, I was so bad at it.
please actually tell us the whole story.
So I had a plan. We went to a gay llama farm in Maine. The llamas might not have been gay, but it was owned by two gay men. And she loves Maine. She like spent summers there and stuff. And so I had this whole plan where, you know, we've been dating for like a year and a half, and I've been bonkers for her for like years before that. And so, you know, I'm no dummy. I'm locking that down because she's amazing and really funny and gorgeous and everything I want.
Did you pull the ring out of a llama?
No, that would have been nice though. Yeah. No, it was actually, it belonged to my mom. My mom died last year and I gave her my mother's ring. No, it's okay. Yeah. How would you know? Yeah. But and so I had plans to have like flowers and champagne and a tuxedo and the whole thing. And my fiance, now I have to get used to saying that, it's great, sleeps in a lot. She works at night. She sleeps very late. You know, we both roll out of bed like maybe between 10 and noon, somewhere in there. You know, we're very much nightlife people. And so I thought that I had time in the morning, and it was 7 a.m. and her eyes were open, and she just looks at me, and I was like, holy fucking shit. And so I had nothing ready, and I ran in the bathroom and got the tux on, and she's like banging on the door like, let me in, I have to pee, what's wrong with you? You know, we're a pretty open door household, like, what are you doing? You know, whatever. And then I come out in a tux, and I was crying, which I did not plan to do. I thought I was gonna be so smooth with this, I was gonna be so cool proposing to my girlfriend, and I was like weeping on my knees. And then I handed her my mom's ring, and I don't even remember if she said yes, and then we kissed, and then I was like, wait, did you say yes? And she's like, yes, I said yes, I'm wearing the ring. I'm like, oh good, we're engaged. But yeah, speaking of being vulnerable, like, you know, I have often been a whore, especially in my 20s. Forget about it. I can't even go into San Francisco anymore. I think I got run out of that town. So you know, the thing about sleeping with a lot of people as opposed to sleeping with one person, like, you know, especially with us now, like, we're going to be married, I'm giving my whole self to her. And that's terrifying and also awesome. It's both of those things. It's awesome and terrifying because I really, really, really care.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to whatever your name is after that one show. you know, I really, really care about this person.
Do you even, did you ever forget the names of people you slept with?
Oh, like, yeah, I was going to tell you with the, your new person, that never do the list. I did the list once with one of my girlfriends. Like, just the, like, oh, this is going to be funny. We're having brunch. Let's do the list of the people that we slept with. It was my idea. It was, like, the dumbest shit I've ever done in my life. So we were doing the list, and I was in a fairly popular band in the 90s in Seattle, and I used to tour up and down the coast, and my band would do things like, oh, we have no place to sleep for the night. Who are we going to sleep with so the whole band has a place to stay? We were like that. Like, we were disgusting. So whatever. I mean, it was fun.
You must have slept with some nasty people.
They were all good looking, but there was some crazy going on. So yeah, they were nasty inside.
So you found good looking people with appropriate housing? That's pretty...
In San Francisco. Okay. This was the 90s. It was different
then. That's some amazing survival ethics, I gotta
say. Yeah, it really is. It really is.
I've never heard.
Yeah. It's, what should we call it? Not Airbnb. What would it be?
Puss B&B? I don't know.
It's 69 B&B. Yeah. Who do I have to sleep with around here so my band has a place to stay?
Is there an app for that?
Yeah. There's an app for everything. You know that. You're young.
We should probably trademark Puss B&B like right now. Exactly.
Patent pending. Wait, I totally forgot what we were talking about. Oh, so I was doing the list with this person I was dating who was kind of too serious for me anyway. You know how us lesbians, we can get kind of serious sometimes. So she was very serious.
I'm one of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I'm a total goofball. I'm the wrong person to date. So we did the list, and her list was like, you know, Betty, who I've dated for 2 years and was in love. And my list was like that one chick, that one time I think we were in Montana, that one girl that we, you know, or whatever. And then code names for all of them, like, you know, self-help, LA, Detroit, you know, you name it. And then she was just like, you don't even remember the names of the people you slept with. And then she was really mad for like days and days. And it didn't go well after that. So I'm just, you know, as the lesbo elder of the group, don't do the list.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do that. Although I might do it on air, which is a problem. Which is like why I don't let people I date. Listen. Like as I was telling everyone before we started recording, so we edit the episodes very lightly. We very rarely edit the content. It's usually just the intro because we always kind of screw that up live, though I think we did kind of okay this time. But this one time I realized I used the first and last name of someone I had dated before and was like, oh, I got to edit that out like right away. That's terrible. Yeah. Well, I give nicknames to people I date anyway, like with my friends. I don't know why I didn't. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'll like call someone like Port Authority or Mount Vernon or
Port Authority.
But it's basically every time for some reason, I never wanted her to come back to my place. I can't remember why.
You had sex in Port Authority?
That's what everyone thinks.
It's so dirty.
That's what everyone thinks. I swear, I have never had sex in Port Authority. But we would always like bang in bars around Port Authority.
Oh, okay.
And then the sexiest thing in the world, most romantic thing in the world, is after finger banging someone in a bar, then walking them to their gate at Port Authority and being like,
"That is sexy."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it worked. It was.
I actually want to make that movie. Can we do that? Yes. Yeah, I want to make that exact movie.
I give you the right.
Okay, yeah, good. Absolutely. You're gonna be in it.
So. Yeah. So and now that I'm
finger banging at Port Authority.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. So now that I've made Isaac and Lola uncomfortable by making them talk about vulnerable things, now, Cecilia, I'm going to talk about your vulnerability. You're in this new relationship, and you're very young, and it's a long-distance relationship, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, and where does she live?
She lives in Chile, South America.
Okay, and how did you guys meet?
Don't See? Have to tell the story.
It's a good story. It's a good story.
Well, without getting into detail... But detailed at the same time. Basically, online, there are communities that engage in role-playing. You can assume any character you want. It can be a celebrity. It can be characters in movies. You could be Harry Potter if you wanted, basically. And so this specifically, we're on Twitter. So I was assuming Bill Kaulitz, which is from a German rock band.
Nice.
And she was assuming as Darren Criss.
Which is from Glee. Is assuming that's the like verb, like when you're playing a character, you're assuming the role.
Yeah.
I feel so old right now. We would just go out and meet people face to face.
Well, yeah.
In my day.
That's not, wasn't that easy for me. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, that's not I mean, I didn't start this out trying to find someone. It's just role playing is just it's because I'm a writer. So it's a way for you to write and, you know, exercise, you know, get the juices flowing or whatever. Yeah. But over time, you know, you do tend to grow bonds with the people that you're role playing with. And eventually you start talking to them OCC, which is out of character.
Oh, oh my God.
Yeah.
I love this so much.
Again, I feel like I'm like 70 years old right now.
You're gonna get older and older as this
as the show goes.
Yeah. I'm like freaking out right now.
Hunger. Has anybody seen that movie? Probably not.
I haven't.
See. Yeah.
I didn't expect to tell this story. I don't know if she's gonna kill me or not later.
I'm sorry. So I think it's a great story.
If you can't see, your girlfriend is so adorable right now, and she's just bonkers for you. So I think this is great for what it's worth.
Sure, Cecilia's okay. Cecilia's blushing. Yeah. She loves you, coconut.
And I will say, if I could throw in there, just that this is not something that, and it's interesting because I'm 28, so I feel like I'm in like a weird in between age and where I can kind of relate to all sides and talking about this kind of thing. And like, to me, it's not that unfamiliar, and I feel like definitely not that uncommon to as a way to meet people and like a way to interact with people online. Like, I remember the sort of birth of all of that when like AOL came out, and that was like the main platform for everybody to chat, and like chat rooms, like that's kind of like where all of this was born. And like, it's kind of, to me, it's kind of cool to see that there's still a community for that that's going on. So but some of the terms, what was it, OOC? Out of character. Yeah, I like it. And I'll hand it back over to you. Hold on.
Yeah. So expanding upon that, I will say, you know, I grew up not lasting my family, but basically, you know, I'm not in a family where being queer is accepted. So the internet has really been the only way that I. There was a time I didn't even really understand what it meant to be. I knew I found men and women attractive, but I never really understood what it meant to find women attractive. I never understood there were terms for it. I didn't get there was a difference. So the internet really was my only way of education, you know? And so most of the relationships I have had have been online because I haven't really had the time when I was younger. I mean, I just turned 21 where I can go to bars and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have anywhere else to meet women, you know. So honestly, the internet for me anyway, that was the only way I was really able to get out there. And
well, that really leads in really well to our topic for sure, is that difference. I mean, so Lola, when you and you're in your early 40s.
I am 44. I'm like 44. Almost mid 40. I'm halfway there, people.
Yeah. So and where'd you grow up?
I grew up, my accent's really messed up if you pay attention to it, because my family's from Philly. I was born in Pittsburgh, and they moved to Denver, Colorado when I was two, and so I spent the school year in Denver and the whole summer on the Jersey Shore. So my accent is like hillbilly but real Jersey at the same time. And then I lived in Seattle for a while, and then I've been in New York for like 15 years now too.
You're
so
pretty much a New Yorker now.
Yeah, I think it's 10 years, then you can be like, I'm a fucking New Yorker, all right, you know, or whatever. But sure. But the lifers are different, so depending on
you have a longer litmus test than I do. I as a native New Yorker, I say 5 years, but that's also could be because I'm young as well.
Well, I tried to say 5 years, and then a New Yorker was like, nope, it's 10. I'm like, okay, all right. Yeah. So what was the question?
Well, no. So you were growing up, I guess one big difference, like between you and Cecilia, or even, you know, you and Isaac, or even you and me, and we're evenly spaced out. I'm 33. Isaac's 28. You're a lot older
70.
Than yeah. You're 85. It's amazing.
Watch The Hunger. I'm talking about David Bowie getting older.
Oh, I probably did see that. Yeah,
great lesbian scene, famous.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See,
Susan Sarandon and what's her butt?
What?
Yeah, Susan Sarandon and oh shit, I'm spacing out.
Wait, what movie is this?
The Hunger. It's a vampire movie from like the 80s. Susan Sarandon and
totally David Bowie's in it.
Yeah, David Bowie's a vampire.
Oh, I'm googling this
later. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. God, I'm spacing her name. See, that's the elder moment I'm having here. I have to look it up. It's killing me.
I've been an old lady ever since I was born. I can't remember anyone's name ever. Like I was saying, there's a huge difference in that you didn't grow up with all these resources of looking online of like, oh, what is lesbianism, or what is like this, or what is that. So how did you start figuring out all that stuff?
Well, I've been attracted to women since the moment I remember being attracted to anybody, you know, and I was like a total tomboy and I was like the lone lesbian of my high school without even being out. Like I would get in fights with football players and I was like in love with my best friend and got gay bashed a bunch and all that stuff. And the good thing about the interwebs is if they had Facebook when I was growing up, oh, fuck, that's so, like, people get tortured on Facebook, and so I'm really glad that I didn't have to grow up in those times, you know? But the bad thing is that, yeah, there wasn't, you know, the only way I could see gay women was in vampire movies from the 70s. That's the only way I could actually see two women kiss was that one of them was a vampire and she was going to kill the other one. Like, there wasn't really, you know, there was, like, John Waters and stuff like that, but there wasn't a lot of, Kenneth Anger, but that was mostly for men. You know, porn, you'd have to like go to the store and get a tape or something. I'm not doing that in my when I'm 15 or whatever. You know what I mean? And so a lot of it was just sort of like under secrecy, like, you know, kissing friends and, you know, just under real secrecy. And then, like, you know, when I was like 18, I was just like, fuck this, and just became a huge hooker, and just anybody who said yes, I was like, let's do this. You know what I mean? But the good thing about the internet is that, you know, you can connect with people all around the world. You can have a girlfriend somewhere else and you can have a real connection with this person, provided they're being honest and they're not like some creepy old dude, like, I'm a 22-year-old lesbian, you know what I mean? You know,
don't worry, we've Skyped. She's
yeah,
real.
Yeah, okay. Shoo! Yeah, because you're such a sweetheart. I would hate for that to happen to you. Yeah. So the good thing is the connection with people, but also the bad thing is the connection that you don't have, actually meeting face-to-face and having to go up to someone and have that awkward moment of, God, I don't know you, and I'm going to try and talk to you, and what's going to happen, you know? I mean, I think that we lose something, and everyone's on their fucking phones all the time. Me too. You know, but just all the fucking time. Like, when I broke my phone and I got name policed off Facebook, it was almost a blessing because I had to actually, like, talk to people. You know what I mean? It was just and I had all this free time. It was awesome. But, you know, it's just a different thing now. And also, if you do something now, like you're a kid and you're gay or not gay or in between or queer or whatever you are, and you're, like, bold enough to say that, if your feelings change, it's just out there forever. You know what I mean? Or if you, like, text your tits to somebody, it's just out there forever. And, you know, I'm bad enough as it is now, you know, but I can't even imagine if I was growing up, you know, with all those hormones and stuff, what would just be up there forever, you know? I mean, it's like, it's both great and horrible.
There's
at the same
pros
time.
And cons.
Yeah. Oh, and my girlfriend just texted me, Catherine Deneuve.
Oh
yeah! What? Susan Sarandon.
Fiance,
baby.
So much hotter than Su Ling.
Yeah, you wouldn't even freak out. Yeah. I'm freaking out every day. She opens her eyes and I'm like, "What the? Marry me!" Yeah. It's serious. So yeah, Susan Sarandon, Catherine Deneuve, in bed together, naked. That's all I'm saying.
Googling that later.
How did I not know this? This is one of the ways that I'm a bad lesbian.
Well, again, we didn't have the internet. What the hell else am I gonna do?
Yeah, fair point.
If I could jump in here, please. So. You keep saying I'm a bad lesbian. I have to know, and I hope I'm not changing topics too much, but I have to know what that could possibly mean
possible. Apologies to people who listened to episode one. We touched on it there. As I've discussed, I don't do drywall. I don't.
Sorry.
Hair looks fantastic.
I know, but my hair is amazing.
I'm very ignorant. What does drywall mean?
It's like when you build the wall or something.
Oh, see, Grandma thought it was a sexual term. I'm like, what's drywall? What are the kids doing?
That?
Is it drugs?
Yeah.
So I don't do that. I don't U-Haul. Everyone knows the term U-Haul.
Oh, yeah.
I assume.
Oh, yeah.
I don't U-Haul.
I don't.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Pass it over to lesbian.
Yes,
elder.
We have a generational gap. Let's
okay.
Hear.
So U-Haul lesbians. There's always that joke, what do gay women take on the second date? A U-Haul, which means that you have two dates and you're moving in together because it gets so serious so fast. What do gay men take on a second date? There is no second date.
Right.
So there you go. So there's the U-Haul. Yes. There's
Cecilia,
also...
Okay.
You never heard that joke.
No.
That's amazing.
I wonder, is that joke maybe aging out? Because like by the time I was your age, Cecilia, I definitely heard that joke. I mean, also, you hang out at Cubbyhole a lot, so
I
I'm
do.
Surprised
no
that...
No one has told me that yet.
Yeah, but it's a term. It's like, oh, are they U-Hauling? Oh, they're U-Hauling. You know what I mean? Like, you just.
I mean,
like,
I get the term of lesbians in general get more serious quickly, but I've never heard that
those
term.
Are the U-Haul lesbians, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Learn something new today.
And for the record, Cecilia,
I heard about drywalling, whatever the hell that is.
For the record, Cecilia, you don't identify as lesbian. You identify as queer, am I right?
I'm queer. Yeah. I generally date women, but I have had relationships with men. But the real deal for me is someone with lady bits.
So, yeah. It's not bi, again, grandma moment. So it's not bisexual anymore. It's just queer. It's just kind of whatever.
No, everyone identifies differently. I'm going to be honest. I mean, I used to say bisexual, but Victator and Newbert have spoken about in other episodes, there is definitely still a lot of stigma.
Oh, everybody is mad at the bisexual.
Exactly.
Except for me, because I always date bisexuals.
Me too. I love them. I love them. Bisexuals, I love you. Call me.
Yeah, I've gotten people where, you know, I say, yeah, I'm bisexual. They're like, oh, so you're really only into guys, right? Like, or you're only into women, right?
Or they think that you can't make a decision for yourself because you're bisexual. Exactly. It's like, no, I actually am bisexual. I like both sexes.
Exactly.
Get over yourself.
So I just kind of got over the drama. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to say queer. I feel it's more ambiguous. You know, whoever I'm dating with at the time, you'll see. If I'm interested in you, you'll know.
I don't understand.
That's pretty much it.
Like, for me, I don't think it should matter to anyone unless we're fucking. Like,
exactly.
Why do you care unless you and me are going to do something?
But 99% of the time, it's people I'm not even, we're not getting into bed together, but they throw their accusations at me, and I'm just like...
Well, you're hot. It's probably that they're just mad that they're not on the other, you know, they're not on the other end of that or whatever.
Well,
so.
thank you.
Hey, coconut, go.
I'm
still... Don't worry, she's 92. She can't, like, she can't even, like, move.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be bedridden by the end of this conversation, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, grandma. Oh, lesbian grandma. Yeah.
But no, that is actually like a big, I do think that's actually kind of a generational thing, that queer is starting to become a little more popular than bisexual. Isaac, they do. And you know what's interesting is, like, as you pointed out, Cecilia, it's like that you'll see a woman will say she's bisexual and people are like, oh, you're straight. If a gay guy says you're bisexual, it's like,
oh, you're gay. For sure.
So
yeah.
What's really interesting is that basically that means the only, like, valid orientation is one towards men. Like, it's like,
wow, that's really interesting.
That's all I've always thought about it. I'm like, how do you,
but
Isaac, you still identify as bi, am I right?
Yeah. And it's interesting, the sort of question about queer or bi, because I feel similarly to Cecilia, where, like, I kind of over time just sort of adopted queer because I felt like it was kind of a good, I don't want to say catch-all, but, like, it felt like the pressure to identify a certain way was, like, too much. And so eventually I was just like, I'm just queer. Queer to me meant just, like, not straight, I guess, in a way. It's just like, I don't really know how to define it. So I usually, and being trans, I just feel like queer is a good... I used to say I'm queer presenting, or like I'm queer identified. But when people ask me if I'm bisexual, I usually just say yes, which is interesting because I don't know. I kind of just identify as... I just feel similarly to you guys, like... If you like who you like, and you just sort of figure it out from there. And
how nice would it be if everyone was just, like, queer and also one shade of brown? Like, hopefully we'll get
right.
It's just not sort of like a non-issue.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we're pretty far away from it right now, but how nice would that be? Like, for me, if I tell anyone I'm a lesbian filmmaker, they're like, oh, do you make documentaries? And I'm like, yes, my last documentary was called Nefertiti in Space. And I just stare at them. Like, they just assume. And also, like, with film festivals and stuff, they'll never put me with the campy movies, which are the movies that I make. Like, I did a film festival where they played, like, four or five of my films in Boston, and I Am Divine was playing at the same time, and my stuff is very John Waters. Like, you know, Dragzilla, I was a tranny werewolf, you know, like, all this stuff. It's like Nefertiti 1 and 2. Like, it's super, super, like, you know, Night of the Living Gay. It's very campy gay cinema, and they didn't put me with the Divine movie. They put me with, like, this very serious lesbian film, and so people were like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
And so when, if I was a gay man or whatever, they didn't know my gender or whatever, they would have put me where my films probably should have been. But since I'm, you know, I'm in a band called Sweet Tits. Shout out to the Sweet Tits. And we're like lesbian Spinal Tap, and we played Gay Pride last year, and Bianca Del Rio introduced us, and she was so mean to us because we were lesbians. So mean. Body shaming. And then our whole shtick is to try and get as many people naked as we can. We have songs like Show Us Your Tits. The whole reason we have a band is to see boobs, obviously. It's the whole reason anybody has a band.
Yeah, really. Why else make music?
Exactly. Man. But, you know, she was body shaming people in the crowd for showing, you know, their boobs. Yeah.
At a Pride festival.
One of the top, at a Pride festival.
Come on.
At Gay Pride, one of the biggest Pride festivals. And she's one of the top drag queens in the world. Mm-hmm. And then I actually met someone who knew her later, and this guy was like, oh, yeah, she hates lesbians. I was like, what?
Wow.
Is that like saying I hate everyone from, you know,
Yeah,
Albania. I hate, you know, Asian people. I hate all blanket statement. I hate lesbians. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna throw a wrench here and say I hate lesbians. Like, but here's the thing. You're like, I'm listening to you talk about all this cool shit with everyone getting naked, and I'm like, oh my god, she's the coolest lesbian ever. Because my problem with lesbians, and yes, I'm so horrible and self-hating, is that like, they many of them do just want to sit around and watch documentaries. I know I'm totally stereotyping here, but you know,
in sandals while listening to acoustic music.
Exactly. Exactly.
If we're gonna prejudice, let's do the whole
absolutely
thing.
No. Point is that like, the culture of lesbianism that we know and that is like, you know, displayed everywhere is of the fucking boring lesbian.
Well, and it's really uptight, actually. You know, if you go to Stonewall has like these parties. I don't know if they still do, but a couple years ago on Fridays, it was like one floor was gay guys dancing and the top floor was lesbians dancing. And you go on the bottom floor and you're like dancing with all the gay guys. Everybody's having fun and they're whipping their clothes off. And you go upstairs and it's like... like crickets, like nobody's having fun, everyone doesn't want to talk to each other.
So you're saying that bizarre.
That's still a thing. Yeah, yeah, they still do the Friday night, I think it's called Monster.
The joy from top to bottom was like really bizarre.
It is a very different vibe.
I lived in the Northwest in the 90s. I know some serious, ridiculous lesbians, and I get it. You know, and so maybe we should all just say we're queer and just get over, you know, you have to put everything in a little box, you know? I mean, so.
Well, I'm kind of surprised to... heartened, I guess, to hear that you're more open to the idea of a queer label, because it seems like a lot of older generations, and again, you're 106, so
126. Yeah, I take really good care of my skin.
Yeah. Seem to be a little wary of people having vaguer identifications.
Well, I just think that part of the problem with the other is that's where people get racist or gay bash, or, you know, when I was growing up in Denver, it was like the most homophobic place in the world. Jersey Shore was not much better, and we would play games like Smear the Queer, and the queer didn't necessarily mean gay, but it meant the weirdo, the other.
What is the game exactly?
The game is you go Smear the Queer, you point to someone and you go, you're queer, and then you jump on them and tackle them. That was the game. And this was commonplace, you know, in my elementary school, in my junior high, you know, Smear the Queer. Sure, everybody knows that game. Yeah, wow. You know, and, you know, as someone who has been gay bashed kind of often, sometimes, like, you know, I lived in the East Village for a long time. I got gay bashed outside of Pyramid Club in my own neighborhood. By, you know, like five guys, and they happened to be, you know, African-American, and I was like, you know, this is the same as being racist, and they just kept throwing stuff at me and my girlfriend. I was with Su Ling at the time, throwing stuff at us and like threatening us and like, oh, you don't want my dick, you don't want my, you know, like that. And I'm like, this is the same as being racist. You know, I embrace queer because we're all queer, you know, everybody's queer. Nobody, you know, most of the time when somebody's really homophobic, it's because when they go to sleep at night, they're probably worried about that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just like people that are racist or very like small-minded, and they like have no clue about the other person, and they're probably a little jealous or weird about something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it comes out of massive insecurity, and the term queer, I think, is very inclusive. And so, you know, especially as gay people, that's why I was so bummed out about Bianca Del Rio. It's like, it's gay pride, and we're all in this together. Shouldn't we just be having fun? Like, why are you body shaming my guitarist for having a little weight on her? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, right.
You know, in front of thousands of people before we play.
Right.
Like, what is wrong with us as a community? Like, it's hard enough, like, oh, you're gay, you know, and then the gays are going to separate ourselves and, like, be like, you know, it's the same with transgender rights versus gay rights versus, you know,
for
queer
sure.
is cool. What if we were all just queer and it was a non-issue?
Yeah, and it's interesting to, I'd want to ask Cecilia, I'm curious, because, I don't know, I've definitely experienced, like, open, like, your experience of having just sort of homophobia be right in your face, actual, almost assaultive on the street.
Or
and, like,
assaultive.
Yeah, or,
actual,
and
actual
or
assaultive.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm curious, especially as things are changing, and, well, we have at least the conception that things are changing for the better in terms of these kind of rights. Like, I'm curious to know if you still witness these things, like, in the community, like open harassment and kind of like open. I'm curious to know if that's changed in your opinion, or if that's sort of a thing of the past to you.
So harassment within our community
or just outside.
I mean, I think it's definitely gotten a lot better. Like as I said, I was raised in a family where, like, being queer is not really okay. And even though, you know, my parents still don't agree with who I am. I have seen like a progressional change. You know, they used to throw the F word out, you know, the gay slur for men. Mm-hmm. That you, when I grew up, they would always make fun of, you know, someone, a guy on a show who might be flamboyant, you know. That was commonplace in my house. Mm-hmm. But over the years, you know, I don't hear that word anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, they try to be more respectful towards, you know, if they know someone is gay or something like that, they don't really make those sort of comments anymore. So I think in general, people are getting better. What's not getting better is the stereotypes, the assumptions about, you know, well, if you're this, what does that mean? Like, even within my friend base, like, they know I'm queer or whatever. But so you were speaking earlier. So I'm kind of going off topic. But you were speaking earlier about how you feel the pressure to assume a certain, like, well, if I'm a lesbian or if I'm bi, then this means that or the other. So I've had friends where it's like, occasionally I will find a guy attractive. Yes. I'm like, okay, that guy's really hot. And then I'll have friends.
I do that. Yeah. I mean, some guys are really hot. They're usually gay for me, though.
But exactly. Yeah. But then it's like, I'll have friends like, oh, but aren't you into girls? I'm like, yeah, but I'm just saying he's attractive. And who knows? I mean, I'm not lesbian. I'm queer. But they think I'm just confused. They think, well, you just haven't met the right guy yet.
And again, if you ain't fucking them, it's none of their business.
Exactly. Seriously. But they always think you just haven't found the right cock yet or something.
Oh, yeah. Guys love that. I got in a full conversation. I got a full conversation with a guy who thought he was going to turn me. And it was to the point of, it was at a bar. It was to the point where there were like 20 people laughing at this poor guy. And I was like, look, I haven't even like kissed a man for like 20 years or something. So I'm not really sure why you think you're so special about this, but you should just like let it go. You know, you're embarrassing yourself. And, you know, I actually just feel bad for you now. So let's just stop with the whole, you know, the whole my penis is the right penis one.
Please. Yeah, that one always kind of... Do you want another beer, Cecilia?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're drinking. That's what we do on the show. You can open it with that. Yeah, the whole thing about the penis will turn you thing is always really surprising to me. I know. So this lovely guest Lola is amazing because she hasn't listened to any episodes. So all information I give you, that's totally fine. All information I give you is brand new. So I consider myself kind of homoflexible because like I'm like a 5 on the Kinsey scale. I'm very rarely attracted to men.
You know what I like about that? I just imagine you with your like legs over your ears when you say that I'm homoflexible.
Yeah.
Wow, she really is.
No, I can't.
I gotta say, when I first heard you say that, I thought maybe I should steal that because I think
I didn't make it up. I didn't make it up. It's like even
that's
a.
That's the
thing.
First time I've ever heard it from you. I'm like, I think I should.
Well, you know
steal
where
that
I got
term.
It was mostly like people say heteroflexible all the time.
I have heard that one.
But they'll say it as a joke, like maybe I'm heteroflexible, but like, you know, anyway. But no,
that's instead of curious now.
Yes,
curious,
yeah, instead of curious. So
just flexible.
Yeah. So no, I'm a little homoflexible in that like once in a very blue moon I'll be attracted to a guy. It's very different than when I'm attracted to a woman though. It's very fleeting. It doesn't last that long. Usually like I sleep with a guy maybe around once a year if that, and then I never want to see them again. Whereas like with a woman I'm like, oh my god, don't leave. Like, yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, yeah, the dick has never, even a dick that I've been interested in has never made me like, oh my god, this is what I'm missing. I'm like, oh, that's this thing that's on your body. And like, sure, like, you know, in certain uses are somewhat pleasurable, but the thing is, like, if with a woman, like, let's say if I'm in the mood for penetration, like, well, we could buy one. Yeah, or like
it could be anyone you want. There's like freedom of choice. Yeah. Well, I think that it comes out of insecurity. I think that a lot of men are probably very insecure about their penises, and so they want their penises to be the golden rod that cures all or whatever. Yes. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, I have been lucky enough or funny enough to have a lot of like hot girlfriends, and I have an extremely hot soon-to-be wife. Hi, baby. You know, and so people will proposition us for threesomes and things. And to me, I always laugh because I haven't met a guy that could keep up with two women. Have you? Does that exist?
No.
I mean,
no.
They
no.
just like kind of come and pass out, and then that's it. No matter how special, you
well,
know, or whatever.
Well, our last episode had a little bit about that, where I was grilling. We had this guy Fred on, and he's a gay guy, and we were talking a lot about like refractory periods, and they do vary among men, no doubt. But it's true. It's like when I fuck a woman, it can go on for like hours. Whereas when I fuck a guy, it's like, oh, okay, well, that's done.
And that's and that's the problem with the film that we're going to make, Finger Banging in, what is it, Grand Central? No.
Port Authority.
Sorry, Finger Banging in Port Authority.
Way too classy.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Finger Banging in Port Authority. Is it a lesbian quickie? Is like a half hour. It's not as easy as, know. You know, because, you know, you got to put a little time in. You know, we're just, our bodies work differently. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I think all of that, like, you know, you just haven't met the right one and all that stuff is just real, like, insecurity. And it's mm-hmm. the same as we talked about before, homophobia, racism, all that stuff is like, it's just people being real insecure mm-hmm. and just like being aggressive about it because they feel so bad about their little winky and yeah. what's going on with them. And, you know, they just feel so terrible about themselves that they have to like lash out at other people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I just realized we only have like 10 minutes left. We talked like so much.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know. Before we start like letting people, I mean, we have a little more time because it turns out the 3 o'clock is actually at 5 o'clock. But I mean, this, it's good to keep a schedule. But is
what
there?
What does that mean? Do the kids know what she just? Is that a drywall term?
No. there was supposed to be a 3 o'clock show on KPS, but it turns out they're a 5 o'clock show. Yeah, so we're not in as much of a hurry. Okay. So, but I'm curious as to if there's anything, any burning aspects of this that people want to bring up.
I just think it's up to the kids. You know, we were real stupid in my generation. You know, just real. I mean, some things were great. Come on, rock and roll and movies and stuff. Totally got you beat. But anyway, you know, for the younger generations, like here's a good example. A good friend of mine, you know, I come from a family of gypsies and Jews, and a good friend of mine, like one of my best friends, her grandpa was a Nazi. You know, and obviously my grandpa was a gypsy Jew. So her grandpa would have killed my grandpa. 2 generations later, we're best friends. You know, think about what we can do as a community and outside the community just to educate people, you know, 2 generations from now, you know, like maybe it won't be such an issue. Like to see this amount of gay people in the media, like not just like on TV as like the gay neighbor, but like lead people mm-hmm. in the media that are gay. Mm-hmm. is amazing. We had like Joan Jett and Freddie Mercury and they were both in the closet. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I just think things are getting better if we can just move it that way. But I think change is really hard, you know?
Yeah.
I just went to Seattle for a film screening and a friend of mine who lives there said that, you know, Seattle is very super gay, but because of, you know, Amazon and all that stuff, there's a lot of new people moving there.
I didn't know Seattle was gay.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty gay. I mean.
Home of Dan Savage.
Yeah, it's pretty gay. I mean, there's a whole queer thing happening there. But and Capitol Hill is kind of like their Castro, their gay neighborhood. And there's been a lot of gay bashings because there's all these new like software people and bros coming in because there's work there and because weed is legal and whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of gay bashing because change is just hard. You know, change is hard. We're idiots. Humans are idiots.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all about the other. So if we can figure out how to not have an other, maybe we can figure it out.
Yeah. And I support that 100%. I think what's interesting too is just as like a closing thought for me, especially like first time co-hosting the show, like what's really special about this is like a room full of people who all identify a different way, and like we've all had similar experiences, which I think is interesting. We all have some different experiences, but like the fact that we're all in the same room together now, I think shows something about the evolution of this. I mean, short of calling it a movement, I guess, but like just the evolution of this community in general is like this room even is living proof of that. And I think that's such a cool thing. And yeah, I mean, I'd be curious, Cecilia, to know your thoughts too, being younger and like entering this community now.
I mean, it's exciting. I think, honestly, I mean, I know we spoke about the pros and cons of growing up in your time and my time, but I personally feel like if I hadn't have grown up in my time, I probably would still be in the closet. I probably would be married to some dude right now. Because without going in, I was raised in a certain religion, and basically they have a certain expectation for you. Like, you can't, if you're going to date someone, you have to marry them immediately. Right. And when I was 18, I actually was dating a guy who I was going to be married off with.
Oh my God.
Wow. Very shortly.
You might have told me this while I was drunk at Cubby Hole and I might have forgotten.
I don't think I've
it.
Ever told you.
Okay, good.
I've never gotten
this now.
Yeah. I've never gotten
this. Let's go to Port
deep.
Authority.
But yeah, basically, I was almost married off to somebody.
Oh my God.
And then I said, fuck this. I pretty much left the. I'm still technically a member, but I don't go anymore. And if it wasn't for, you know, the, like I said, you know, resources on the internet, for representation in TV, like Glee. I'm sorry. Yeah. That show saved my life.
Yeah. Glee, I forgot the episode, but when the kid came out to his dad, yeah. I mean, that was real. That was some real stuff.
That actually,
and it's on like a top TV show. I mean, it was mm-hmm. they do important work in the, you know,
yeah.
singing and dancing and jazz hand business. They're yes. doing important
work. No, no. Yes. Propaganda is extremely important to
it
our
really
movement.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. So those sort of medias that I had, that helped me to tell my parents, hey, this is what I am. I mean, they're not happy about it, but at least I'm out and I don't have to pretend and be married to some
Well,
dude.
And they don't have to be happy about it. You have to be happy about it. You know, I know people, you know, I've known people that are still in the closet and they're in their like 50s and 60s and That's they true. Have kids and they feel like they can't get out of it. And they're like trapped in that. I was so in the closet in my high school and so in love with my best friend at the time. And it was torture. It's a terrible feeling to not be able to be yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a terrible feeling. And so you are a badass. I'm really like, yeah, wow, yeah. You are a goddamn
Thank you.
Badass.
For
sure. She's like 150. So it's like, it's just amazing that she's saying
That's
that.
Like the
it's
best amazing. Compliment I've ever received. Yeah. Thank you.
That's right. Grandma Lesbo thinks you are a badass. No, I mean, it's really inspiring because coming out is not easy, even now that, you know, gays are accepted. Well, not if you're in Alabama and you're like, you know, some staunch religion.
That's another thing. I would say living in New York also makes it easier, honestly.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, even like whenever I talk to Cecilia, I always refer to how old I am. But
which I really can't stand because you're not that old.
Yeah. No. Yeah. She.
Not like
she.
Grandma Kettle
yeah.
Over here.
Yeah. You might be like in your hundreds, but I'm like in my 80s. But so I. No. I. But no. Growing up in New York, I can't imagine. I was so fucking lucky, and as I've discussed in other episodes, you know, we had out gay teachers, and mm-hmm. you know, we went to the AIDS walk, and I don't know, like, but like I was still very surprised when I realized that I was queer. I was kind of a surprise to me that I realized I was queer. Like, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't see that coming. But at the same time, it was like I had all the vocabulary for it because of living here. Mm-hmm. And because, yeah, we didn't have necessarily Glee when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. We didn't have, you know, Will and Grace when I was growing up. But
Even that is very much a gay stereotype, the gay next door neighbor that's
it
adorable
is.
And
yeah.
everyone loves.
Yeah, yeah. It is. But if it weren't for Will and Grace, I mean,
if it wasn't for Will
yeah.
and Grace, the rest of those
I
shows
always say
happen,
you have to start right? somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to be perfect in the
yeah.
beginning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for me, no. It was growing up in downtown Manhattan in the 80s and 90s that actually made me have words for the things that I experienced and felt. So you, Cecilia, I mean, obviously it sounds like you face a lot of adversity, but you are very lucky that you grew up both here and in a time where you could see yourself reflected in pop culture.
Pop culture
it's
saved my youth.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can sum it up.
Yeah.
For me, it was lesbian vampire movies. For for you, it's Glee, but it's the
I
same.
I still gotta Google that
It's
later.
The same kind of thing. Oh, God, you're gonna be so happy. I shot really well, too. But, you know,
we're all gonna be flicking the bean later.
Yeah. I had a song called Flicking the Bean back in the day. Flicking the Bean. Anyway. You know, you seem very emotionally intelligent also, which is, you know, good for you. You know, you're wise beyond your years.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a really good thing because the worst thing is self-hate. I mean, that's why people gay bash is because they hate themselves. You know, it has nothing to do with us. They're so freaked out that we are so open with what we're doing that it causes some sort of anger reaction in them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's, you know, even in the times when people were like coming after me, I was like, I actually feel sorry for you because you feel terrible every day. You wake up and feel horrible.
I've always believed that anyone who engages in that sort of bullying, that's because of insecurities that they have and they feel they have to elevate themselves. It could be for anything, whether it's race, sexuality, whatever it is. They just want to raise themselves higher. And that's what it stems from, I believe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not to, this is a great conversation, but we should probably start closing up and... I literally just moved the mic so I could burp. So while wrapping up, I think that some people have some projects they might want to talk about. Do you have something that you'd like to promote, Lola?
Oh,
are you working
on
something right now?
Well, I just finished Nefertiti in Space, and so that'll be online pretty soon if you go to lolarockandrolla.com. Also, my band Sweet Tits, which is the lesbian, the queer Spinal Tap. I was playing New Year's Eve on at Freddy's, and it's just like free, and it's just a really good time, and there will be massive boobs.
Am I being a terrible lesbian because I don't know what Freddy's is?
It's just a bar. It's okay. In Park Slope, but it's not a gay bar. It's just like it's just a bar. It's just like,
I love that bar.
Yeah. It's just it's all kinds of everybody bar because you know.
And then Isaac, our listeners who heard him on episode 5 remember that he is the editor-in-chief of FluxWeekly.com.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on with that?
Yeah, so I edit a blog that's called Flux Weekly, and every week we have pieces that come out from a bunch of different writers from all over, and The Victator's actually been a featured writer in our first issue. Mm. And
which is funny because I'm not a writer, but anyway.
Yeah, but it was a fantastic piece, and my effort is basically to just feature some voices that might not otherwise get published in some other outlets. So we usually come out on Sunday. This is actually our last Sunday issue. We'll be coming out on Thursdays after this one. But tomorrow, if you go to fluxweekly.com or you find us on Facebook, we'll have some great writing from, I think we have 3 pieces this week. So really great commentary. If you're into that kind of thing, definitely check it out.
But also, didn't you just have something like published on Huffington Post? That
was So I wrote like kind of a goofy article about the 8 things that are bound to happen to you on Thanksgiving or during the holidays if you're trans. And really could extend to any kind of queer identity, I think. But Huffington Post picked it up and they published it on their site. And so, we're going to be doing some
holiday things. That can happen on
If you go to Flux, you'll find it. Flux Weekly, you'll see it linked. And so Huffington Post seems kind of interested in cross-posting a lot of what we do on Flux, so that's a good thing. So you can find my stuff there and hopefully some more in the future too.
And Cecilia, I don't know if you're not, it's, I don't know if you have anything you want to promote.
Not really. I mean, I am a poet. I do have a blog.
Oh, I didn't know this. See, look. Okay, fantastic.
So if you're interested in reading sappy emotional poems, I have a blog. It's Myriads of Dreams at WordPress.com.
All right.
You can check that out.
I didn't know this about
you.
I'm learning so much.
I don't broadcast my work. Yeah. But people want to check it out.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, so I think that's probably it for now. I want to thank our guests. They were absolutely amazing.
Thank you for having
us. While I miss New Brit, I actually think this went really well, and I'm really excited. All right. Yeah. All right. Bye, guys.